The case being brought by Somalia against Kenya is to do with sovereignty. Sovereignty over a patch of sea in the Indian Ocean that is disputed not for what's in the water, but for what's underneath. Valuable deposits of oil and gas. Unstated in the dispute is Kenya's desire to license oil to mining companies. Nairobi has already awarded free oil blocks to Italian energy firm Enispa, sparking criticism from Somalia that it's stealing its sea and oil. Marine researcher Timothy Walker explains why Somalia is so angry.
The Somali sense of grievance is partly attributable to the sense that they were forced into a memorandum of understanding because these claims had to be filed in 2009. Like I said, given the passage of time since and the changes in governance which have occurred within Somalia, the feeling was that this was a rushed process and should be redone, whereas Kenya felt that it had a very legitimate basis upon which to proceed, saying that we will continue to negotiate between ourselves rather than take this to an international process, which is what Somalia has subsequently done.
The Memorandum of Understanding signed in 2009 agreed that the border would run east, but the new federal Somali government has since rejected that agreement, arguing the line should continue along the land border. That would mean reducing the territory Kenya currently owns, roughly the size of a square, and leaving just a triangle. Walker says one of the reasons why it's so difficult to locate maritime boundaries is because it's a relatively new concept for African states.
The African maritime domain has been an area where we call the very sea blind. A lot of countries are only beginning to realize how important a safe maritime domain in terms of transport and trade is for their commerce and livelihoods in terms of things like fishing. African states have not really had a presence at sea. They haven't had navies which could patrol their waters. They haven't had, or they had had large fishing fleets, they've often been very vulnerable to illegal fishing.
Up until now, states like Somalia have been particularly vulnerable to piracy. That problem is now under control, says Potengal Mukunden, the head of the International Maritime Bureau in London. But he's worried that those gains could be rolled back by unresolved border disputes like this one.
We've not had an attack of Somalia now for 3 years, I think. But our view is that there is the potential is always there. It is important that where there are these maritime border disputes, they should be resolved, because that's another area of uncertainty. In these areas of uncertainty, particularly with weak states, you are likely to have criminal elements who take advantage.
The collapse of the Somali government in the 1990s led to a loss of documents that could have assisted in the case currently at The Hague. But for many Somalis, countries like Kenya are taking advantage of their internal problems for their own financial gain. While they may have a point, says security expert Andrew Franklin, that's not the issue.
When all is said and done, the real question becomes who can best exploit the resources, the offshore resources, and who is better placed to actually make use of the offshore zone. In this case, I would suggest that Somalia and Kenya would do much better to set up essentially a condominium in the offshore area where they would share the resources and jointly develop the offshore blocks for oil exploration, for natural gas exploitation.
Nigeria and Sao Tome and Principe settled their border dispute by doing just that when they launched a joint development zone in 2009 to share their resources. The hope is that the International Court of Justice will put enough pressure on Kenya and Somalia to go down the same route.